Okay. In Perek Vav of Shar Aleph, the Nefesh HaChayim is continuing with his discussion of what it means that we were created B'Tzelem Elokim. Of course, it means that we have intellectual capabilities and the ability to make rational decisions, which is above and beyond the rest of the the creations of the world. And in that sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed us with somewhat of a divine spirit. But even more than that, the Nefesh HaChayim has been explaining that one of the images that's engraved upon the Kisei HaKavod is the image of a human being, which indicates that all of us really have a little bit of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, whatever that means, Kibiyochol, Kadosh Baruch Hu embedded within us, the Tzelem Elokim Mamish, a Chelek Elokami Mal Mamish, literally a piece of divinity, and that gives us an ability, as it emanates from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that gives us the ability, really, to affect the entirety of creation, just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Elokim Baal HaKochos Kulam, each one of us has a divine spirit and the ability to affect the entirety of the world through our actions. But now, in Perek Vav, he kind of circumscribes that. Now, we're going to draw some limits to this. I mean, this one can get carried away with this notion. So over here, Perek Vav, he explains, this is really not exactly as we presented it until now, or it needs to be defined. Because ha'adam el ha'olamos hu nefesh mamish, we're not, we have, of course, this chelek ha'lakami mal mamish, but we do not have the same ability, just like a person's spirit, lives within his body, and whatever he desires to do is expressed by his body, and the two really work, in harmony with one another. That's not exactly our relationship with the world. We have a little bit of the divine spirit has been embedded within each one of us, but that doesn't mean we have total control over the physical world, and it will all be a manifestation of our actions. What it means is, and he goes on to explain, is that we can affect the world with our actions. It doesn't mean, though, that it's all in lockstep with our actions, and we're ke'ilu, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. That's reserved for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can affect the entirety of the world, literally with everything that he does, and, everything in the world jumps, or says how high when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says jump. Everything in the world is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. We don't have that same capability. HaKadosh Baruch Hu embedded within us a little bit of it. It's severely and highly diluted, but what it means is we can affect the world with our actions, albeit somewhat of a less significant fashion, of course, than the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. So he gives over here in the footnote as an example of this, which is a fascinating Gemara, Masechet Chulin Tani Alef Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, "Ein Malachi Asharis Omim Shira Lamala Sheyam Yisrael Shira Lamata." We say, of course, in Shemana Esrei, "Ata Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh." And then we say, "Ukdoshim b'chol yom yaluch haselah." So we first are makadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu down here, ata kadoshim chakadosh, and then we say, "Ukdoshim b'chol yom yaluch haselah." And then in Shemayim, the Malachi Hasharis praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they do so only after we do it down here. So Chaim Volozhin explains what that means is that we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu down here, and then as a result of that, there's repercussions, there's a ripple effect that we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu down here, and that enables the Malachi Hasharis to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim. So there's kind of like we can cause consequences throughout the world, or our actions can affect the entire world, but it's not exactly that we can control the world. We can affect the world, but we can't control it. So we can say Kedusha down here, and that allows the Malachi Hasharis to say Kedusha in Shemayim. But then he goes on to say something. Look, we're learning Parshias Bereishis and Parshias Noach. So, of course, this is related, and the whole concept of that we're created with Tzelem Elokim is found in these Parshios. So it's not surprising that what we're learning would relate to the Parshios of Shavua. But over here, the Nefesh HaChayim says that what it means is that a person was created with Tzelem Elokim is not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed us with the Divine Spirit, but really took all of the items that were created so far and used them all, or derived from them all, to create Adam HaRishon. And that's why Adam HaRishon is kind of at the top of the pyramid of the items that were created during the Sheish Yemei Bereishis. It's the last thing that's created, the culmination of the Ma'aseh Bereishis, not only because it was the purpose of everything, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu culled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled from all of the creations that he had made so far, and used them all. They all participated in the creation of Adam HaRishon. So that's perhaps what it means. Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu K'dmusenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't only talking to Malchei HaShareis, as Rashi explains. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really talking to all of creation and asking them to participate, to donate to the creation of Adam HaRishon. And because all of creation participated in participated in the Yetzirah of Adam HaRishon, Adam HaRishon, through his actions, can affect in turn the rest of creation. So I think that that's connected to the whole theme of Parshas Noach, where through the actions of human beings, all of society had been corrupted. The entire world had been corrupted. The pasuk says, "Ki hishchis kol basar es darkei haaretz." It wasn't only humanity and human society had been corrupted. Even the land itself was corrupted. You would plant one min, and a different min would grow. You would plant wheat, and something else would grow. A different vegetable would grow. Animals, when it's kokum l'shein aminim, the Medrash says, instead of animals only mating with animals of the same species, which is what should take place, they were mating with animals of different species, which itself is incestuous and corrupt. Even though they weren't obviously making these decisions rationally, animals don't have that ability, but it was a reflection of human society that was entirely corrupt and incestuous. And because a human being, is culled from the rest of creation, and all of it participated and joined in the creation of Adam HaRishon, as the culmination of the Ma'aseh Bereishis, so too in turn, when we corrupt ourselves, we do the wrong thing. So that has a negative effect on the entirety of creation. So we have the ability to literally affect all of creation with our actions, and not in the sense, we don't control, right, the world with our actions, like Kadosh Baruch Hu does, but Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability, it's diluted and removed, but we have the ability to affect the world with our actions, and that's a reflection of the fact that we were, all of creation participated in the Yetzirah of Adam HaRishon, and therefore when we do the wrong thing, in turn, that can bring down the rest of creation. Look, but we can also bring up creation through our actions, just like we can bring it down through by performing the Averis. So over here in the footnote, though, the Nefesh HaChaim tells us something which is very Yesodistic. He says at the beginning, when Adam HaRishon was created, he only took the positive aspects of creation. He learned, what are the things that a person can learn from all the different animals of the world. The Gemara says in Erevin, had a Kadosh Baruch Hu not given us the Torah, we would have been able to derive moral and ethical principles from the different animals of the world. Because each one of the animals perhaps embodies a positive quality and trait, whether it's tznius or it's the hard work of the ants or all of the different things that are, moving with alacrity like the leopard. A person can learn a lot of things from the creations of the world. So had we not given the Torah, we would have derived it from the creations of the world, and they all have positive capabilities and qualities that we can learn from. However, after the Chet of Adam HaRishon, not only was there Toiv that we garnered, that we took from the Ma'aseh Bereishis, but all of a sudden now, we integrated within ourselves the Ra as well. And he explains that because prior to sinning from the Eitz Hadas, the Eitz HaRa was somewhat removed from Adam HaRishon. It was kind of like an outside snake that was tempting him to do an Avera. And Nefesh HaChaim says, of course he had a Eitz HaRa. Of course there was, the challenge of doing right versus doing wrong, because if there's no right and wrong, and there's no choice, there's no bechira, there's no schar v'yonesh, and what then is the purpose of the creation of the world? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner makes the emphatic point, of course, Adam HaRishon had a bechira, he had the choice to choose between the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa, but the Yetzer HaRa was removed from himself. Rashi already says something like that in Chumash, and Perek Beis and Bereishis, but Reb Chaim Volozhiner here spells it out. He says, after, though, the sin of the Yetzer HaDas, so then the Ra and the Tov became Urbav, then they became confused within Adam HaRishon, and now all of a sudden it becomes hard to tell what's the Toiv and what's the Ra. The Ra is not a snake outside of us that's speaking, surreptitiously, and he's giving us, with a pitchfork, and he's red, and he's giving us some bad advice. Now all of a sudden the Yetzer HaRa is within ourselves, and it's hard to know what's the what's the right thing and what's the wrong thing. That's why Dessler has a famous mashal to this in his Michlam Elio. Where is it? One of the Sfarim over here quotes it. In the Michlam Elio, a famous piece where he explains that that's why now when a person wants to do the wrong thing or a person needs, as I say, a physical need, we say, I need this or I need that. I need to eat right now or I need to do this. Our Yetzer HaRa, not that eating is a Yetzer HaRa, but the physical desires of the body have become I. It's part of ourselves. It's not something that's distinct from ourselves, but the Yetzer HaRa has become itself part of ourselves, and it's somewhat hard to tell what's the Yetzer HaTov now and what's the Yetzer HaRa, because instead of just culling the positive aspects of the Bria into the creation of Adam HaRishon, once we sinned from the Yetzer HaDas, we took the negative aspects, the animalistic aspects of the Bria too, now all of a sudden that also became part of the personality of Adam HaRishon. That became part of us too. And therefore, when we do Averis, we bring down the rest of the Bria, because we took the negative qualities from them. So when we do it, you know, that has Mashpi on them, and we took the positive qualities from them. So therefore, if we uplift ourselves, we can uplift the rest of the Bria too. But now, after the sin of the Eitz Hadas, all of the Tov and the Ra, everything that we took from the Maisa Bereishis that was created before us, is all now confused, and it's somewhat hard to tell what's what. Chaim Shmulevitz has a fantastic piece in the Sichos Musar. It's one of his recurring themes. He has more than one piece about it, where he writes on the topic of Ha'or v'ha'choshech ba'adam, that there could be light and darkness in the very same person at the very same time. Because it used to be that Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra were mutually exclusive. They both couldn't be housed within Adam HaRishon at the same time. The Yetzer Ra was somewhat removed, was distinct from him, external. Now, after the Eitz Hadas, it became something that was internal, and therefore light and darkness could exist in the same person at the very same time. He says, look at Cain. Why was Cain so upset? Because his carbon wasn't accepted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was marking him. He distanced himself from Cain, and Cain had an aspiration for spirituality. He wanted to come close to Ribbono Shel Olam. How did he express that frustration? What did he do? He killed Hevel. Yeah, but that itself is is an expression of darkness, of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to bring yourself closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, sit in Daven, say Tehillim, learn Daf Yomi. What's he doing? Killing Hevel. How is that going to help him get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam? It makes no sense. It's counterintuitive. And that's exactly the point, says Chaim Shmulevitz, that darkness and light, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra, can be operating at the very same time. And it's very hard to figure out what's what now. What's an Avera? What's a Mitzvah? And, which direction is a person going in? Is he going close to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is he trending further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or he says, look at Yisroi. Yisroi discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu all on his own. He was a priest to a different religion. And he converted to join the Jewish people, a great statement of faith and dedication to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yet at the same time, when Moshe Rabbeinu was marrying his daughter, he stipulates, I'll let you marry my daughter, I'll give you my blessing, on condition that you don't give your first son a bris milah. What is that? If he wants to come close to Ribbono Shel Olam, why would he demand that Moshe Rabbeinu not perform a bris milah on his child? And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz uses this as a springboard to derive from here that we see sometimes how Arva and Chayisha can both exist in the same person at the very same time. And we know that it's true in our own lives. Sometimes a person can have a unique or sincere Chayisha to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and at the same time, all of a sudden now, he feels himself being pulled towards things which are entirely antithetical to that. And that person can somewhat to struggle to how to reconcile these two different urges of these two different feelings that he feels. On the one hand, to come close to Ribbono Shel Olam, on the other hand, sometimes we feel things pulling us further away. And the answer is, I think it's important to recognize, is that we have this tug of war that's always going on within us between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra. Prior to the Yetzer Hadas, that was something that was external. After the Yetzer Hadas, we called, we pulled, we derived not only the positive qualities of the world, but the negative qualities as well. And now both actually housed within the same person at the same time. And therefore, it's not surprising that perhaps that we feel these different pulls in different directions. Perhaps even at the same time. All right, we're going to have to continue with this. Let me check back up.